Thanks, Richard. It's great to see you here, guys. So, discipleship of working class and youth, and working class youth and men. I don't claim to be an expert. I'm just sharing more about the struggles that I've had, actually. I know that if we want to get involved in it, it really is, it is a war zone. I suppose the same is true really of any ministry we get into, but our focus here today is looking at working class ministry to blue collar, to working class. I think Christ tells us up front, doesn't it, that it really is a spiritual battle, and it's a battle where the stakes are high, where people's eternal destiny are at stake. Some of them might be our neighbours, our workmates. For some of us, might be our sons, or our sons-in-law, or our brothers. Okay, and it's a battle really against our ruthless enemy, isn't it? Against authorities, powers, against spiritual forces. Okay, Jesus, he says, your enemy's like a roaring lion, isn't he? Prowling around trying to devour someone. And Jesus says, the devil's a murderer from the beginning, and his MO is to kill and destroy. And so there is a battle raging, and I think it's in any battle, it's critical that you look along the battle lines to see where the enemy's breaking through and where he's making inroads, where the defences are being breached, so that we can you can deploy your troops there. But they need to be trained and equipped, of course, and then mobilised. And I think it was interesting, Dave O'Mara. Is Dave here? No, he's not here. Anyway, it's got to decide, where people live and when they live, doesn't he? He's in control of that. And it's interesting that God's brought to you to Australia. He's brought refugees and migrants from Congo, from Sudan, from Cambodia, India, Korea, Iran, from Somalia, Afghanistan, from Sierra Leone, from Bosnia. A lot of these guys are from Muslim countries, and he's brought them here to Australia. And where do most migrants, refugees live? They live where? It's either in southwest Sydney or it's in western Sydney. And where do they work? Mostly it's in the blue collar fields, of course. So obviously, I've worked with judges who are working as painters because they're not recognised. And where do they go for training? Most of them go to train either to TAFE or to RTOs. And in TAFE, in New South Wales alone, there's 500,000 TAFE students. And you know what? We've got 1.7 gospel workers in for that TAFE. And if I was Satan, I know I'd be zeroing in on anyone who's doing that work. And blue-collar industries, it's very multicultural. I used to work on multiplex job. And the scaffolders are all fobs. The concretes are Croatians or from East Africa, East Europe. You've got the gyprockers were from North China or from Russia. Your carpenters are Irish or Skips or Kiwis or white Kiwis. And your roofers, well, that's an interesting mix. But it's very multicultural. I mean, my boss on that job, he was from day release from Silverwater Prison. And he used to treat us not much different. We live in Seven Hills. Any guys from Seven Hills here? A few of us. Okay. And that's a working class suburb. And really, if you look at who's at church there, we're not really reaching them. And recently we had a mission. And there's a huge industrial area. It reaches from Old Windsor Road right across the Seven Hills Station. But, we didn't even... A lot of industrial units here. When we're doing the mission, we didn't even grapple with the idea, hey, how can we reach these hundreds and hundreds of youth and men who go work in the industrial? We didn't even think about it. And like I said, what I'm sharing with you is not about a great work that we're doing. And it's rather, we're looking at where the battle lines have been breached, both, and so individually and collectively we can do something about it. And I know, just speaking for myself, I know I often don't even hold the line. Okay, not allowing getting on the front foot. But, does it really matter? But is an issue we should be grappling with here today? But if we look at these guys, if they're outside of Christ, where are they heading? What's their destiny, if we take the gospel seriously? My wife and I, we worked in North Kenya for about 9 years. And Islam there is very aggressive. And it was interesting, the Muslims, they used to put a price on the head of the Christian leaders. It was interesting, the higher the price,
was determined by how much of a threat they thought that person was to Islam. It was interesting. Some leaders, you know, were really effective in their ministry and were a real threat and were out there. And others, you know, they were no threat at all. They wouldn't even have a price at all. And I think, I think as Satan looks at us, you know, is he threatened by you and me, you know? Or is he not bothered that where ministry is so ineffective? And I think, if I'm honest myself, you know, often I'm not very effective. I just want to take us along a little bit of a journey. Just imagine you're in year 10, okay, and you're going to get an apprenticeship, right? And you might have went to Toon Gabby School, you might have went to Tyndale, you might have went to, might have been under George there, or you might have just went to local high school. And there you are. You enter your year 10, what are you, 15, 16, you enter this adult world, okay? And where Jesus and the Bible's totally irrelevant. You're seen as totally irrelevant for life. And often, sadly, where many of the guys you work with have had negative experiences of relationships with Christians and with religion. And where Jesus is often mentioned only as a profanity. And you're there, and smoko, exposed to porn, the dirty jokes, the put-downs. A bunch of guys I work with, every Friday afternoon, the boss would take them all down to the pub, to the strippers, where they get on the grog, and life's all about, you've got to fit tight with your mates, don't you? If you just go a little bit deeper into that blue collar world, what's valued? I'm sort of talking about generalisation, so I'm not trying to be an expert. It's just what I've observed, and often a person's worth and status is measured by comparing myself with someone else. You know, so I've got to be bigger or smarter or quicker or tougher than the other guy. If I'm doing the job, I've got to get it up, you know, faster, you know. If I'm drinking, I've got to be, you know, a better drinker, or often sexual conquest is the way we measure our worth. And 18th birthday, this sort of like a rite of passage, is often characterised by what? Just getting as wasted as you can. In sport, where, you know, a club that I'm pretty closely associated with, in a sort of a way, the pep talk at half time or before the game, it's all about, you know, let's get these F&Cs and we're going to kick their heads in or whatever and we're going to demolish them, you know. So it's all about us against them sort of mentality. And really in that sort of mentality, if you're challenged, you can't really lose face. And I think it's interesting, you know, cage fighting is so popular, you know. And it's all about conquest. It's about demolishing the other person, isn't it? And often when you're on the job, you form strong alliances. Usually, as a trader, you work with a small crew of guys, team of guys, and you form strong alliances. And you've got to watch each other's back and stand by one another and stay tight. And those qualities can be good ones. But if that's your only point of reference, then it can take you down a pretty dangerous path. You know, like you... And you've got to... The worst thing you can do is dob on your mates. So if you go down the pub, you might have stay back there a few hours, you know... The boss say, "Well, we'll tell the boss we had to go to Bunnings, isn't it?" So you can't, you know, if you step out of line, you know what's going to happen to your head, isn't it? And so, or on the other way, the boss might actually put pressure on you to lie to the client about something. And so, a lot of the guys I teach and stuff. There's a lot of they've got to stay in their mobs, and if you look down deep, there's a fair bit of hostility. And when they on a Monday morning, when they talk share about their weekends, if they get into a blue, it's not about just having a bit of a fight. It's about getting the other guy down and kicking his head in. And it's one of me just a few days ago. One of my students, he shared with me about how his dad taught him to fight. He said, "You got to get him down. You got to stomp on his head." And that's what he learnt. And right and wrong's got to do with not. It's got to do with staying tight with your mates. And or just doing what you can get away with. Now, I know I'm making generalisations, but it's true about a lot of guys I know. And so if we come back to that young apprentice who now finds himself in this very different world, isn't it? If he was from... It's a tough gig for him, isn't it? He's where his core values, his core beliefs are being attacked. And it's really hard to survive there. And of course, he's got his three enemies, isn't it? The world, the flesh, and the devil are all having a go at him. And the sad thing is, often that young apprentice, he doesn't fit into the youth group anymore. And also, sadly, a lot of his Christian mates, and sometimes even the Christian leaders, they just sort of, they don't really, when he doesn't come along, they don't even often just give up on him and just, you know, make a call. Oh, he's gone the way of the world, whatever. And, I mean, it's not true of all, everyone. Thankfully, there are some Christians who really have their mates back and really go and have a real concern for them. And we need to learn from them. But this, I think the big question about, you know, really, like I said, blue-collar guys are not really represented in our church. You know, what are we going to do? And I think, how are we going to respond, really, if we take the gospel seriously? And I think we've got to take a lead from Jesus, because he's really the ultimate working-class man. And I want to talk about just three qualities about Jesus I think we need to really learn from. One, he's a shepherd. Now, we worked in northern Kenya, and one thing I learned, I learned a lot about shepherding in northern Kenya. Often, the people there rely on the animals, and often animals will get taken, usually by a band of guys from the other tribe. They'd come, they'd attack those who are looking after animals. They'd take them captive. Now, shepherding, what happens in that situation? The shepherds, the leaders, they get together, and they've got to organise for a band of men to go. They've got to be tooled up, of course, to go and follow the animals that are taken captive. And then what happens? There's an all bloody great fight, isn't it? Because they've got to fight those who are taken captive. And Jesus says that the devil has taken people captive, whether you like it or not. They can be taken captive by a whole range of things, some things which seem very good and respectable, but at the end of the day, they're taken captive. And there's a battle on if they're going to be set free. And so that's the second thing. Jesus is really, as I look about his ministry, he's a cage fighter, isn't he? He stepped into that cage, and he took on three enemies, isn't he? He took on death, isn't it? And the wages of sin is death, isn't he? He took on the curse and the judgment that we deserve because of our sin, and he took on the devil, whose agenda is to kill and to destroy. And he took on those enemies, and that was a fight. It was a fight that was costly. It cost him his very life. And he inflicted the very curse of God against himself to set us free, didn't he? And in that cage, and he won that victory, didn't he? But the interesting thing, he's still in that cage, isn't he? Obviously, he won the victory, but he's still fighting now to rescue those who are held captive. And often, I mean, walking the talk, if we're fair dinkum about it, is about climbing into that cage and fighting alongside Christ and learn from him. And the third illustration is, I'll get Mark in my hand here, is building. Christ is a builder, isn't he? He said, on this church I'll build my, on this, he says, I'm building my church. Not even the gates of hell will prevail against it. And building, when you're building, what do you got to do? You always got to anticipate the forces that are going to come on the building. You know, this one here is weak as, isn't it? The wind will get over it, you know? So you've got to anticipate the forces, then you've got to be able to brace against it. So you might put a brace on it. You've got to get a roof crank, can you? Thanks, mate. Watch out there, Ben. Devil right there, mate.
Right enough for a plumber.
But even that, it's only got that much strength on, is it? So get a bunch of Kiwis up there putting the tiles on, they'll go straight in. So and Christianity is like that, isn't it? We've got to anticipate the forces that are going to come on us. And we've got to be able to strengthen one another to be able to withstand it. And often you can't do that. You've got to do that on site, isn't it? You've got to be alongside people, isn't it? And so it's not something you can do from a distance. And it's interesting, you know, Christianity as its roots, its grass, it's working class, isn't it? The church is founded on the prophets and apostles. The apostles, most of them were fishermen. They were working class, isn't it? And Jesus himself was a tradie, isn't it? And so at its core, Christianity is working class, and yet we're not reaching working class. And I think I'm really challenged to evaluate my ministry. You know, what threat am I to Satan? And it's interesting, I think many of us, Al Stewart at Men's Convention talked about, we often fall off the camel. Either we fall off one side, we just withdraw from the world, or we fall off the other side, we get so imbibed in with our mates and their values that we just actually, instead of helping to rescue them, we actually get caught in that rip. And Jesus says his call is to learn from him, to go and make disciples, isn't it? They won't come to us, we've got to go to them. And we've got to do it together. We've got to stay tight and encourage each other and learn from each other. Like I said, I'm not an expert, but it's a great opportunity. It's a great privilege he gives us. Like I said, God's actually brought people to us and from all over the world, from all religions. And it's a tremendous opportunity. And also there's opportunities to reach people like a lot of mates who are in prison and stuff like that, that we can have tremendous opportunities. They can't get jobs in white collar, but they can get jobs as brickies and that sort of thing. I think he's got me. So my challenge is that, you know, at the end of the day, Christ is where the battle lines have been breached, but we all got to learn from Christ. He's a shepherd, isn't he? In the business of setting captives free. He's a cage fighter, and he won that victory, but he's also, there's still a fight to be won, and he's a builder. Thanks.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Richard. As some of you may know, of our ministry and my involvement with regard to vocational colleges, particularly TAFE. And if one thing will help you understand why TAFE's important to raise this afternoon, the vocational colleges, you've got to have a Daryl Kerrigan moment. And you might remember the castle. Can you remember the moment I'm talking about? And he says, "Oh, what's your son in for?" And, of course, the son's not in for a crime. He's one of the barristers in the court that day. "Oh," Gerald says, "I was so pleased." He said, "I know how you feel." What was his name? The lawyer, Bud Tingle, the lawyer, the solicitor. He says, "I know how you feel. I was so proud the day my daughter came home from Sunshine TAFE with a hairdressing certificate." And I'm watching the DVD for a day off, and I'm looking up going, "Can you give me a rest?" Basically, this shirt is blue for a very good reason. The history of TAFE, if you go and care to read the website, is that they have been historically the institution that's trained the working class, whereas our university has been the institution which has reached the white class, the white collar world. And so therefore, university has been seen to be the gateway to the gatekeepers. That'd be something. If Philip Jensen was giving this talk, that's what he'd say. And he's right. And you can see the benefits of what leads. But you end up, a lot of my mates will say, I would say, end up with a brainiac with a Bible. Well, that doesn't reach blue-collar people. You know that, I know that, and we love them for it. All right? And I spoke to Don Carson about it years ago. But you go to TAFE, you don't reach the people who run the country, you reach the people who stop the country. So, you know, the gatekeeper has a different perspective when you come to TAFE. And this is our whole, one thing I hope you'll learn is that our whole raise, train, ordain system for our ministries across our denominations is predicated on a university person, not on a vocational person. All right? So that's the Daryl Kerrigan moment. Give you an idea of the culture we're trying to reach, which Norm was alluding to. Have a look at this. If Jesus was a carpenter, then God must have been a brickie. I couldn't ride past that on me pushy and not snap that shot. Here's another one. Motto to live by. Life should not be a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in an attractive, well and preserved body, but rather be skidding sideways, beer in one hand, rum in the other, body thoroughly used up, totally worn out and screaming, "Yeehaw, what a ride." Ha ha ha. That's the sort of blue-collar person we're reading. I've been part of trying to establish, therefore, being convicted of this some 20 years ago some 20 years ago by God, I believe. Been trying to establish a Christian body and Christian organisation to solely focus on the vocational colleges for precisely these reasons. And as we've done this, this is the strategy we've tried to tried to follow. Three circles have dominated my life. And if you're a bit blue-collar, mechanical-orientated, just three pulleys, guys, and a fan belt around all of them, and a driver in the middle, which I think could be Men for Christ Ministries in our blue-collar program you'll see at the end. Norm's alluded to the work and church circles, how we can follow Jesus' example here and here. He's also been a teacher in TAFE, but this is the circle I have focused on. But focusing on that, I've seen the importance of this and that and why you've got to get a fan belt around the whole lot. Does that make sense? And so therefore, I think TAFE is worth the investment because nationally, this institution is larger than university and secondary schools and educates 1.89 million people. From a vocational blue-collar orientated background. I just wanted to focus on the college circle. I just wanted to give you a few examples of what we've been trying to do and how we're trying to address this whole issue. When we talk vocational colleges, we're talking secondary and tertiary. In the secondary colleges, you have also vet courses in schools. My friend Ben, put your hand up, Ben. Ben's a chaplain at the... Okay, so this is Ben's patch. I got in there and set it up in a sense and handed over to Ben this year, and there's the boys. A spin-off of our inter-college Christian fellowship has been an informal ministry that we call Jesus Did a Trade, His Life for Yours. We're thinking of actually formalising it into a Christian organisation, an inter-church, inter-denominational Christian fellowship amongst tradespeople. And it starts here where Ben is, and if you want to talk about the Anglican Technical College, it's one of John Howard's TAFEs that they set up in the latter years of the Howard government. Ben's your man, so talk to him later, that's what it looks like. The second version of it is here in colleges in terms of tertiary. This is at TAFE, this is what it looks like. These are the guys that we used to meet and work with. And we used to run a tea and coffee stall early in the morning, meet them as they come in, and befriend them. They come out at 9:30 with a tea and coffee, and we run a Bible study. But no one had notes. It was just looking at stuff on a table, and it used to be done with cards and stuff. And over a period of 10 to 15 years, we've got this informal network that we've just baptized Jesus Did a Trade, His Life for Yours. In fact, it could go, why not make it a business? Maybe, I don't know. But I also want you to see that blue square in the background because I think that not only this circle is the gateway, this is the entry point, in my view, to the blue-collar community because this is where it trains. And this has been my focus for 15 to 20 years. And so in doing that, we've noticed that we've been given a window into the blue-collar community. And the best person I've read who's got the DNA of the blue-collar community is an American, Tex Sample. That's his name, Tex Sample. And it's from a book called Blue Collar Ministry. Tex Sample, write it down. We'll try and get it on the website if we can. You've got to go and read this book. Not that it says everything, but he started the conversation more than I know. Anybody else in the world that I know of. Tex Sample, Blue Collar Ministry. Go and read it. It's a starting point. We're in a conversation. Four levels to the working class. This is Tex Sample, right? Winners. These tend to be highly unionised with strong political power and usually high wages. So I'm part-time trucking these days because I sort of chopped up my old job and chopped up the money and Ben's the fruit of it, for some of it. Not all of it, hey, mate, but some of it. And I drive trucks. And so as a fuelie, if I get my B-double, I've got a single license. If I'm a B-double, fuelie, I get 36 bucks an hour. That's all right, because the unions have got the oil companies by the... and they can get the wages. So they're working class winners. respectables. These tend to be well off, and they just manage their family and they make ends meet. These ones, he calls them losers, working class losers. People tend never to have a job security or long-term tenure or very little training. And then hard livers, these are like the dropouts and rebels and prisoners and bikies and stuff. And then when you look at it, I then started to think, well, hang on, let's look at the Christian ministries that actually reach these four levels. Same category, same description. Here's the Christian ministry. Jesus did a trade, is what we're trying to do with tradespeople. A lot of working class respectables will be involved in their local sporting team, coaching, whatever, setting it up, picking up the kids, whatever. What about being a chaplain to your local sporting club? Or I've found that they're great at being church wardens and working bees over my life when I was in Anglican ministry. The losers, trucking industry. That's where I work, the two-way. You want to hear the two-way? I tell you what, the punctuation is not commas and dots, right? There's a wonderful ministry a brother of ours has called Transport for Christ. It started in America. They chaplains to the trucking industry. All you got to do, guys, is just come up with a great food stop somewhere down near Tarkata and you're in, right? And our great friends here today, Prison Fellowship, is that right, Richard? Prison Fellowship and the prison ministries. Look, bikie gangs, they don't recruit from university. They recruit from prison. Okay? And so, therefore, we've seen these, but we've seen all these four categories walk through our vocational college gates. So therefore, I found the winners tend to be in the high-end trades, the plumbers, the electrical trades, the fridges, more technical. You've got to be switched on, all right? If some of the young chippies can't do their maths because they're all this and that at high school in the maths class, right? And so... or the respectables tend to be they employ people. I live next door to an electrical tradie, fair income. He's got 10 apprentices in his front yard. He's brilliant. I went home and talked to him. He's a Christian. He goes to an AOG church. And I said, "Do you know what you're doing?" He looked at me and I said, "You're doing your trade with Jesus for these guys." He's a chaplain. He's got his own business, and he's got these tradies. He's got a ministry, self-funded. I'm as jealous as, right? And so. The respectables tend to be sole traders, just work for themselves, in their trade, whatever that may be. They're steady eddies, I find. Losers. If I wanted to reach the trucking industry from TAFE, all my young Christian mates who've done heavy vehicle manufacture, warehousing and distribution, blah, 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 I'd have them around for a barbie and say, "Guys, we have a ministry through our vocation to this not blue-collar world, I call it a black-collar world, personally, when it comes to trucks. But you could reach the transport industry. And hey, can one of you pray about volunteering to be a chaplain to the TWU? And if that moves you and you're in a union, I want to challenge you to be a chaplain today. I want you to go on Monday, talk to your boss, or talk to the union and say, "Would you like one?" Or be a union rep in your workplace, straight away. Don't think about it. Get it done. And so, and then we have hard livers. We see the guys come out of prison, usually doing adult basic education on various trades, and some even do their HSC to get their life back together. So we've seen them all come through. And so this has led me to therefore reflect on what we call RTO, raise, train, ordain. So as I said at the beginning, you can see the institutions here and the campuses, our theological colleges, and our public recognition of who we train. The degree base, which should be white, sorry. This is our existence. I'm an Anglican, or was. I am. This is the white collar platform. Right, that should be white. Established universities and established churches very often. Degree based, come into this little community, retreat from the world, come out as a church minister, but we can't do hard to do areas. These two, I've also been involved in chaplaincy at UWS, which The Vice Chancellor calls it a blue-collar uni. And when you look at the six dots that UWS, University of Western Sydney, is reaching, the Greater Western Sydney, and 60% of the kids who come are the very first people ever in their family to have a tertiary qualification, a university qualification, right? And often we found these our friends here that are in this diploma platform stream, we find them at places like down in Victoria, BCV and SMBC. Ben's an SMBC graduate, was in TAFE as a plumber, talked to him later. And I want to challenge people to be on this level to think about being chaplains to unions, with police, firemen, and military. This is where a lot of blue-collar guys go. That's what we could do. And I've turned at the certificate level, TAFE, institutions like Church Army, Cornerstone, chaplains to we can raise up chaplains to not only unions, but what about housing estates and so on and so forth. So what it means is that we've got one white-collar platform, but we have no blue-collar RTO platform. Does that make sense? And that's why I think TAFE, a theological ministry training college done in a vocational manner, is the way to go. Finally, I want to commend to you today, this afternoon, to be involved. We need you and your experience and what God has caused you to see. And I'm thinking that in my little three circles, I need another one. And we're trying to create this blue-collar Men for Christ Blue Collar Ministry Workshop Day, which Richard will talk about shortly. And I want to ask and invite you to be involved, because it's not as though, as Norm said at the start, we've got all the answers. But we've made a start, and at least today we've got a conversation. Richard.
Right. Before we get on to... before we get on to the new platform we're thinking of, how about we have a time of, if you've got any questions that you want to fire off to these two guys. I know they don't have all the answers, they've said that, but if you've got a question, speak up loud and we'll point it to the person you want to. Thanks, up the back.
Norm, thanks particularly for just outlining some of the world view of blue-collar workers, particularly helpful for a guy like me who's middle-class raised. A lot of the stuff that you're talking about was a masculine viewpoint. Are there any particular differences with the blue-collar lady, woman?
Okay, the question is I point out the some of the qualities or worldview of the blokes, but what about the women? Yeah, it's a good question. I think I really don't know the answer, basically. Yeah. I know some... I've just noticed within TAFE, the TAFE teachers are talking about the fact that the girls and the women who come are much more sexually aggressive now towards the guys. And the other day, just where I was, there was a big blue outside, and that was the girls having a fight. It was pretty all in, too. But I don't really know. Yeah.
Another question? Any other questions? Yeah, Craig.
In relation, I mean, we're supposed to be doing ministry all the time anyway. When you're talking about people to give themselves to chaplaincy work, are you talking about wanting to take people full-time into that or people to do it part-time?
When we talk about chaplaincy, what are we talking about? Organised, recognised, maybe full-time chaplaincy work or just voluntary chaplaincy work, so on and so forth? Both. According to who you are. So, for example, if you belong to a sporting club, why not volunteer? Transport for Christ is a concrete example. They're all voluntary. People who work on our TAFE team at my home campus, at Narimba campus up the road, brilliant work by two volunteers, and I can't pay them. They will not accept money, okay? And they just won't take it off me. But there are other opportunities, and I suppose with the RTO approach I was trying to explain at the end, we want to create more opportunities. Ben is doing it as a plumber half the week, but doing a recognised position with a little bit taken bit of funding at the Anglican Technical College. Is that right, Ben? Yeah, so voluntary, part paid full-time. The more established the platform, the better the money, but guys, don't wait to be paid. Yeah, just do it. If you've got a soccer club, footy club, cricket club, blah, blah, blah.
Another question.
It's in relation to the unions. Are there any chaplains within the unions at this stage?
Are there any chaplains in the unions at this stage? Yes. I know within Toll, a lady in Victoria, I made contact with her. She said there's a chaplaincy policy with Toll, and I'm still trying to find out what exactly it is. There's a long history of Christians doing chaplaincy or ministry within unions. In fact, so many will argue that unions is a Christian invention. And one day I was at outside, just on my way up at Currajong, and Unions New South Wales Ute pulled up right beside me. I looked at the sky and said, righto, I'm on. I walked up the bloke and I said, mate, do you know chaplains in unions? And he says, mate, he said, yeah. He said, they were really good with our work choices stuff. And so whatever that meant. if you're card-carrying liberal, you just died, didn't you? No, they'd be... But, look, honestly, if you're in a trade or in a work site, yes. But my heart, my dream that we pray for... And it's just not mine. I've read in the history of evangelicalism has a rich history of this. And you'll know that they were the first ones. Wesley and Whitfield converts just warmed your heart in a blue-collar heartland. That's where they were. And so I want to get our I want to get our ministry and training ruddy structures backing people who want to do this. Goodness sake. Jeez. I tell you, don't start me, as you can tell.
Look, what we might do is just move on to the proposed... could you put the slide back up? Look, Craig and Norm and I have been sitting down praying quite a bit about what can we do to reinvent ourselves a little bit in terms of Men for Christ Ministries, and what can we do to do a little bit more of a focus on the blue-collar workers. We've come up with this plan. It's a different sort of day, if you want to say it. We've not called it a conference. It might be the wrong term, workshop, whatever you like to call it. And we're seeking your involvement today, okay? So it might start as a crack of dawn, right? With tea and coffee, some toasts. Then we might go into a bit of a keynote speak, rite of passage, as Norm has already briefly touched on this afternoon, then follow through into workshops where we split the groups up into tradies, the different types of tradies, plumbers or carpenters, maybe into the areas of warehousing, and try and get some workshops together on following through on the keynotes, make it relevant. Then we'll have a smoko, you know, ham and bacon and eggs on a roll or something, over breakfast, and then straight into a team building. You can just see this faint colour here. It's the first team building. You know, Norm came up with this brilliant idea that we'd split these different workshops. They'd have a competition of building an outdoor dunny. Could you imagine? So we've seen the bar being built on TV. This would be a genuine outdoor dunny. We might donate it to a missionary service or something like that. Absolutely. And then after that, we would go into focus talks. Focus talks dealing with real down-to-earth issues that are within the blue-collar areas. And we've heard some of them this afternoon. We'll go back into another keynote speak where we talk about discipling. You know, Jesus did a trade. Jesus was a discipler. What are we doing? Can we disciple the next generation of tradies coming through or warehouse people? What can we do there? So discipleship, then trying to build networks. It's a hard task. Can we create mature networks with mature Christian tradies tagging on in their either a regional or a professional basis, tagging on to young blokes coming through to try and rebuild trades for Christ? Can we do that?
Richard, can I just slot in there just briefly, guys? Just looking across the beam reminded me, what we also want to try and do on the day is have an apprentice orientation program. So through our vocational college network, to invite our apprentices to that day and to meet with you guys.
So how can we actually connect with the Christian schools out there, or the schools,
With kids who are going to go into a trade, year 10, year 9, right? Can we connect with them? Can we funnel them into a Christian environment? What can we do about dragging some Christian tradies in with more mature? We've heard the example of the AOG, Sparky across the road. What can we do? What can we do? And so what I'm going to do is ask that the blokes have been handed some survey sheets. Could you make sure every person in this room gets a survey sheet? All right. On this survey sheet, if I could just have one, thanks. Could you pass them around now for me, Craig and Matt, and make sure you get it. I really want you to be involved. I actually asked Gary if he up the front this morning could say he really only wants blokes coming to this session who are clearly committed to ministry amongst blue-collar workers. Because if this is going to fly, I can't do it on my own. Craig can't do it on his own. Neither can Norm. We can do it with the Lord Jesus Christ, but we require the workers. We require the workers. Are you a worker? Or can you actually assist us with getting this together? So who hasn't got one? You should have a pen in your show bag that you're handed this morning. Please pull that out. I would encourage each one of you down the bottom, please put your name down. Write your name down for Christ and put your contact details down. Irrelevant of the questions being asked, but we really want your feedback. Will this workshop, whatever, concept be a idea that will work? Is it really hitting the nail on the head? Do we need to refocus? Is there another opportunity or a different way? We've heard of a number of different methods here today, all brilliant ones. Is this another idea or is it distracting from those ideas? Please take the time to fill it out. Right.
Whenever you start talking church language, whatever, they don't want to know. They'll turn out. So you've got to have a look at how you're going to have your workshop and what topics you're actually going to talk about and how you present that to them.
I hope you put your name down the bottom, mate. Right here?
Okay, you've got a workshop already. Get this man's name and number.
Yeah, right here? Okay. That's the sort of feedback we need. Right here?
The other one is too, if you're a white collar person, but you're working in a blue collar environment, whether you're here or you've got friends back at your home church, bring them. Because the managers who have to deal with the guys in the shop, we need them. We're making history today here, guys. I've longed a day to see this. And great things.
Let me warn you, it's not blue, it's black. If this starts and God's germinating something again, you'll see Whitfield and Wesley again. It's just because, for God, the blacker the better. And there's more numbers. And I've found the blue-collar Christian, whether male or female, they've lived a tough life. And when they've decided to follow Christ, they become very tough Christians because they understand the ebb and flow of life. And I've learnt that from ministering with a lot of people like you. And I can see it here today as I walk around. So I think we're doing something very significant.
So finish filling in the forms. I'd like you to just hang on to that. And Ben has volunteered to collect them on the way out.
Yeah.
Good on you, Ben. Excellent. Please write down your thoughts. If they're not there, we can't be guided.
Okay.
We'd like to hear, if you've got a story and you want to hang around, stick around. If you've got a story and experience, you want to hang around, stick around, chat some more, and you think all the rest of the seminars are boring, fine, do that. And not worth going to, sorry, Rich. But the other thing we need to say is that, as I understand from Richard, a key goal of Men for Christ Ministries is to connect to your local church. Can you go home to your local churches? Start Blue Collar Ministry tomorrow. I'll tell you how to do it. Just get turn coffee after church when they're asleep from the sermon I've read, the church bulletin, right? All praise to your minister, by the way. Start chatting to them, nagging to them. What is it for them? Get them to tell that story. Our friend over here says, how do you do it? And start just the conversation. And then we'll say, and you come and tell us what you think might fly. And then we're going to try and work together as much as we can with your local church men's ministry, because we want a blue and white flavour column ministry for every men's ministry in every local church, right?
Right, how about we start wrapping up? Please don't forget to fill it in and hand it back to Ben. Thanks to Craig and Norm. You can see a volume of passion. You can see it. They've been there, they've done the hard yards, and sorry, fellas, the hard yards are yet to be done. Okay? I will just pray shortly. What I'm going to do is ask, if you want to pray as well, I'd love you to pray. So I'm going to give you a few moments, we'll start in prayer, and then I'm going to ask Paul to close in prayer after a short period of time. And then if you could join with me in a thanks to these guys right now anyway. So thank you. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're a gracious Father and you've taught us all that we need to know. We thank you for the demonstration of your love through your Son, Jesus Christ, who through the humbleness of being a carpenter, came and ministered to this fallen world of ours. We pray for your world. We pray that you may seek many labourers out and send out to this fantastic opportunity of the blue collar worker in the Western Sydney especially, that you'll open the hearts of men, allow you to come in for their life to be transformed eternally. Amen.